And now, coming to you from high atop Pod Show headquarters in beautiful downtown Darwin, Minnesota, home of the world's largest ball of string, it's Adam Curry!
Hello, once again, it's Madge Weinstein from YeastRadio.com delivering to you Adam Curry's Pod Show on Sirius Channels 148 while Adam Curry's is on vacation, gentle audience. I hope you're having fun with me and the other Pod Show folks hosting, guest hosting this show. Now, today for you, this hour, I have for you a special treat, a return of one of my favorite guests, underground filmmaking legend Nick Zed. He is the founder of the Cinema for Transgression, and he is a real mover and shaker in the world. So here we go with my interview with Nick Zed, and let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start.
Are we going to pretend that we're starting the conversation?
No, we're just going to do the part about the, I'll just cut it like this. I don't care. Okay. But you were saying something about that the audio engineer didn't get somehow or whatever, but about that the trains are all fucked up, that there's somebody sniffing for gas
the
there or something.
Is experimenting what's going on? Odorless, colorless gas that they're injecting into the subway system. Starting on 42nd Street going up.
They must have signs below 42nd Street that says no terrorists, right? So that they don't travel down there. So what they're doing is they're putting odorless gas hopefully non-poisonous gases into the subway to sort of see how they flow. Is that what?
Right. I guess to see how hard it would be to evacuate people or something. It makes me nervous because right before 9/11, they were doing drills and testing, and before the London bombings, they were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And Bush's poll numbers are so low that it makes me suspicious that there may be another major terrorist attack.
Where did this? When did this start? Do you know?
Oh, a couple weeks ago. I also remember when 9/11 occurred, when I finally got to a TV set that day, one of the first people they were interviewing at the site was some supposed bystander, a doctor who said, we should be very careful about the air quality. There may be anthrax. They might have had anthrax on the plane. And I remember thinking, who's this guy and why is he being interviewed on the TV? And then, the anthrax attacks happened a couple weeks later. It's almost like they were putting the word out, as a meme, M-E-M-E.
What I thought was strange, I don't remember, you can stop me if I told you this before, but the week to the day before 9/11, I was at a place called the A-Zone in Chicago, which is sort of an anarchist club. It's like a lot of kids, and these anarchists kids go there, and it was the first and only time I've ever been there, because a girl was talking to me about doing a documentary. It turns out she just wanted to eat my pussy up, but that's another story. So I went to this. She never ate it, though.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't. She just talked too fucking much, and too skinny. But she. They had a speaker there, and this was 1 week before 9/11. The speaker was, I don't remember his name, but he did several of the illustrations in that book you mentioned, Prodigal Son, about Bush. The illustrations in the beginning, and he said.
Right.
He talked about how he had received a letter, he had been brought in by the Secret Service and accused of threatening the president's life. Secret Service had produced a letter, which they claimed was written by him, which he said was a forged letter, threatening the president's life. So they brought him in to interrogate him. But where they interrogated him was in the World Trade Center, in the Twin Towers. And what he said is, these were his exact words. He said, they brought me into the Twin Towers. A lot of people don't know this, but the Secret Service has an office there. Why do you think they tried to blow it up? And that was a week before. And I can't help but think about that, what's that about? I didn't know that they did, and it's the only time I've ever even heard that they did. So that's creepy, The whole thing is fucked. People shouldn't kill each other. Is that fucking brain surgery?
Yeah.
Right. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the Prince of Peace. He wasn't the Prince of War.
Yeah, I don't know. From Jesus, I'm Jewish. What the hell do I know? I always thought maybe it's just a big, the whole thing is just a big joke to test you, you know?
What is Christianity, you mean, or religion in general?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always thought maybe it's just a test, like, good, the whole good and evil thing. Like, maybe good is what you know is good, you know, by common sense and what's by using your brain as opposed to what somebody tells you and some mythology. Maybe the real test of good and evil is being able to think for yourself critically and knowing what's right as being a human being.
Yeah, to be beyond
instead
good and
of
evil.
Having,
like Nietzsche suggested us that we be beyond good and evil. You know.
How
well,
so?
You're saying that those are moralistic terms that are corrupted. Usually by religious authorities. And to have a personal sense of ethics is more rational. To not inflict pain when the strong hurt the weak, that's like a clear crime and should be condemned. So that is the U.S. foreign policy is criminal. It's the strong hurting the weak.
That's for sure.
Well, I did see the police detaining a couple of blackheads today for selling candies.
Candies? What kind? Peanut M&M's?
Yes.
Why? Are there terrorist missiles in those?
Could be. Who knows?
Well, they need them to be able to fight in this war for oil, so they shouldn't really arrest those kids. They need them to die for George Bush, I think.
All right, cannon fodder.
What about oh God, there's so much. You know Amy Goodman, right? Of Democracy Now.
Uh-huh.
I just interviewed her today about an hour ago, and you know she said, and I didn't know this, but she informed me that it's illegal to propagandize inside the United States, which is why the Voice of America is not allowed to broadcast inside of America.
Uh-huh.
And I did,
but Fox TV News.
Well, they all are. You know, they're all basically reciting press releases. And I'm just wondering, is there a way that we can sort of, you know, sue the government for doing something illegal, which is propagandizing through media companies? I mean, isn't that illegal? Isn't there something we can do about this? I don't know.
Yeah, you could initiate legal action and then be thwarted when you reach the Supreme Court.
Right. I'm finding it a bit depressing. Now, here's something that should bother. You may have heard this already, but this is very disturbing for people that make any sort of art, I think. I'll just read this from P.W. Fenton's weblog. The Federal Communication Commission has hired Penny Nance as an advisor, reports Media Week. The hiring of Nance, a lobbyist for conservative Christian organizations, could signify another impending round of pressure on the broadcast industry to clean up indecency. Nance's official job is special advisor to the FCC's Office of Strategic Planning and Policy Analysis, according to FCC Chairman Kevin Martin's aides. Experts told Media Week they believe the FCC may be preparing to act on up to 50 indecency complaints in the near future. A Washington attorney was quoted asking, "Why else would Martin have someone like that on our board?" Martin's office described Nance's duties as an advisor on broadcast and cable-related consumer and social issues, and that she will serve as liaison, or lesbian, and provides outreach to Congress, public interest groups, and industry. Nance was previously a board member of the Concerned Women for America, a group that describes their goal as helping to bring biblical principles into all levels of public policy. Media Week reports that Nance has testified in front of Congress twice in the past few years, speaking out in favor of the DVD player technology that can skip over sexual or violent scenes. Nance has also spoken out in favor of stricter indecency enforcement and said that basic cable has a huge indecency problem. Now, can you explain to me why it is, or it's a discussion point because it's kind of a rhetorical question, but why is it that they want to just skip over the violence? Is that some sort of a... I mean, do they not realize that what they're doing is they're skipping... By doing that, they're saying... They're skipping over the violence that we're doing. I mean, there's real violence out there that our country is doing. We are killing thousands of people, and we're fast-forwarding over that with our V-chip. I mean, I don't understand what's indecent, why having sex is indecent.
Lunacy. It's about the usual hypocrisy of the theocratic community, the so-called Christian right.
So what?
Who are attempting to clamp down on every aspect of free speech because they are anti-American.
Well, why? What? I just don't understand why. Why? I mean, what would be the motivation? Like, okay, I'm just trying to get inside their head. What on earth would make somebody want to control other people like that? I just don't understand it. You know?
Maybe the fact that they can't control their own biological urges and their insane religion hasn't succeeded in that regard, so that they want to control the outside world.
Yeah, or maybe it's just the inability to face death, which is what I think most of this religious crap comes down to.
Yeah, there's also a bill pending in Congress and the Senate that is sponsored by Senator Ensign and Senator McCain. It's called S-1504. It's called the Broadband Investment and Consumer Choice Act, which it is intended to deregulate the cable industry and phone companies and essentially dismantle public access, which really offends me that it's a direct threat to what I'm doing.
You mean they're going to try and take away their requirement? Would this bill take away the requirement for all cable companies to provide public access? Is that what this is going to do then?
Right. It would attack the franchising agreements, which force the big cable companies to provide the airwaves to us, which are supposedly our airwaves to begin with, which they're leasing. But they have to provide a certain amount of money. I mean, airtime, actually. Yeah. And the government has to help finance it currently. It's one of the few outlets for real dissent in this country.
Public access.
Is the public access television. That's why I have this TV show, The Adventures of Electro. We're trying to reach more people that way with satire and comedy.
Pretty colors, because that's what people these days can't seem to... I don't know. I'm going to post that, by the way. When I post this show, I'm going to post that the video you gave me in February of Electro. I think it's number 6. But there's a guy on there with big ears, and I think he's kind of a high-strung guy. He plays like this, the boss or whatever, and he's screeching. Right. Now, I'm a lesbian and everything, but I kind of wanted to see, because I like am interested in the human body, but he has such big ears, I kind of wanted to see his penis a little bit.
I'll have to find out if he's acted in any porno films.
Yeah, maybe he could just show his penis in one of the Electra elves, so... I don't have to go.
That wouldn't be allowed on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. They would take us off the air.
All right, so I'm just going to take a little break here so I can play some of the promos for other podcasts. This is Madge Weinstein on the Sirius's radio with underground film legend Nick Zedd.
Hi, Madge. This is Cheryl Murkowski of LuckyBitchRadio.com. Well, I recorded something for you the other day when, let's just say, my bladder was full. My vagina was ripe, raw, red, disgusting, and stinky. And, that's pretty much it. Anyway, I hope you and your listeners enjoy this little clip. I need to take a little bathroom break, so you're gonna come with me. Let's go in the bathroom. You know. Alrighty. Get down these panties. Hold on. Okay. Oh, God. Whoa. Oh. God. Didn't know that my vagina was so inflamed. All right. Put that down. Set the iron lung down. Oh, yeah, baby. I bet you never heard this stuff before. Okay. Alright. Alright. You gotta spread the vagina a little bit so that you can, let the pee out. Grape Juices on the microphone. Oh, fuck, I'm getting it all over the seat. God damn, I hate having a vagina. It sucks. Oh, God. I think I just have a little more. Oh, yeah. Good measure. You don't want someone to see your collar and get the pubic hairs off the seat. All right. So I hope you liked that little recording I made for you. God, I thought my vagina was dry the day I recorded that, but Jesus, is it dry today? God damn it, it's dandruff anyway. My penis is so disgusting today. I just need to, just 1 second, there's a little stubble. Oh, fuck! Now I've done it. Cut my lip. I didn't mean to do that, but I cut it on the downswing with the razor. Hit my lip. Normally that wouldn't be a problem, but my lips hang kinda down, kinda low. Anyways, I should stop this crap, I'm sorry. Oh. So this has been Cheryl Murkowski. Visit LuckyBitchRadio.com and have a look-see at my wonderful drag queen friend, Wanda Wisdom, and her podcast. Have a fabulous day, and as you would say, have a pleasant bloater. Something like that, a pleasant yeast infection. Bye-bye.
This is Voltage Clamp from Rubber Band Banjo here at the PodSafe Music Network.
Clarity FM audio blog, June 29th, 2005. My buddy Oblivion, he's got a good audio blog thing going, so check him out.
Recorded at Studio 43. You're listening to Perfect Family.
Mark. Okay, first of all, I'm really pissed off at you, Mark,
right now. He's very angry.
You are so in trouble with me. Your wife and your dog is okay, but you're in trouble with me right now.
Don and Jusha, 116.
So, I'm here to let you know that you can go check out part two of Flying with Drew. And
it's kind of mean of you, flying with Drew, like you're the only person there.
No, and I said with your pilot, Oblivion. Well, I had a blast of a time, and you can go to his website.
What did you just say?
I had a blast of a time.
What era are you from, Daddy-O?
So go to eblo.ratula.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's his website. eblo.ratula.net.
On East Radio.
So how is Reverend Jen doing? Are you still involved with her romantically? You're just working together or what?
Working together, it seems.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Uh-huh. Why?
As with artists' egos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's so many quite a few talented people to collaborate with on the series. So it's always inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what episode are you on now on Electro Elf?
She would say it's episode 10. Mm-hmm. I would say it's episode 15, but she doesn't count the filler episodes, so I guess, yeah. In terms of original stories involving Electro Elf, it would be episode 10, yeah.
Mm.
See, I did a couple filler episodes that were that movie, I Was a Quality of Life Violation, and Lord of the Cock Rings, and some other short movies I put together. But,
right, Lord of the Cock Rings, I remember that.
Right. We're now shooting the origin episode, Electra Elf, The Beginning.
Oh, so that's like the prequel?
Right, and Annie Sprinkle appears in it, and Taylor Mead.
Oh, very
and
nice.
Annie Sprinkle plays Jennifer Swallow's mother. Yeah.
Nice. I love Annie Sprinkle. Yeah, she's a subject of many of our podcasts around here.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah. Fausto does a podcast, a friend of mine, and he's actually in Annie Sprinkle's book, and there's a picture of Annie Sprinkle spreading her vagina, you know, with the speculum, and there's a little boy like looking at the vagina, and that's Fausto, you know, in the book. It was just funny because he's gay anyway, but he still wanted to see what's inside. Does she have an especially enormous vagina that she can do that, or is that just because she stretches it?
It's probably because he stretches it.
Mm-hmm. What about this? Who's this big woman in Electra Elf? The big fat woman?
Andrea Abrams. She doesn't appear much on stage, but she fit the physical description, so...
Yeah, I enjoyed watching her big panties, you know? I really got off on that, because being a lesbian, I like fat women.
All right.
And... And then did that guy with the ears, did he really have to lift her?
Oh, the guy with the ears. You mean Noah Tarno playing the landlord?
Yeah.
No, actually, she was on a stool, but it looked like he was trying to lift her.
Oh. How much do you think she weighs? Like 400 something? I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm not one to talk. So let's see, what else should we talk about? Are you working on anything else? Or is it artistically, or is it just Electra Elf right now? Is that your focus?
It's just Electra Elf pretty much for the films. Although, well, somebody just contacted me and wants me to play a porno director named Ziggy in some feature, which I have to see if I'll agree to that. And I also write articles for 112 & 1 magazine.
Until Bush explains to her why her son died.
In Williamsburg.
You know, I had an idea, too. I thought, you know how these abortion protesters walk around with these pictures of fetuses, you know, smashed up, all that bullshit. Yeah. And, which, of course, I should say make very good Live Journal icons, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But I was thinking maybe we should protest on the other side of the street holding up pictures of dead actual human beings that we killed in Iraq.
Good idea.
Like live humans, like real humans that aren't like tadpoles.
All right.
Wouldn't that be a switch? I really can't get the hypocrisy. I don't know where I'm going with it, but I'm trying to identify solutions. And I guess what Amy said is, you know, it's a good idea to like call the TV stations, the radio stations, and sort of force them to listen to both sides, you know. It seems like it's almost like the community of resistance is so small that everybody knows each other, which is kind of ridiculous, you know.
Oh, yeah. But I do think the majority of the American people demonstrated their resistance in the last election, which was stolen.
Stolen.
And media didn't reflect that. When the exit polls showed that Kerry won in 26 states, and Zogby's exit polls have never been wrong.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit fishy. It seems like, to me, that it had to have been one of the two things. Either the election was stolen, or everybody that voted for Bush, a lot of people were so embarrassed that they had to lie to the exit poll. I mean, I don't know what else it could be.
Right.
But, you know, we're in a situation where people need to wake up, because in Germany they said, we never thought this could happen. And when I was talking to somebody about abortion the other day, because, you know, abortion's pretty much fucked. You know, it's going to be worse than pre-Roe v. Wade, because now, if you know, after it gets overturned with Roberts, it's going to be that in certain states like Missouri, if you help somebody get an abortion, that's a federal offense. And you can go to jail, which means nobody's going to help. And it means it's going to be even worse than before.
It would be like Romania under Ceausescu. He outlawed abortion.
So did Hitler.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't understand why. I mean, why do these crazy dictators attack abortion first? I mean, it just seems so crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess they want more cannon fodder or children that they can brainwash.
Yeah. And I also think, too, it's interesting because, you know, Bush, like last week, was talking about how, you know, some country some Arab country tries to control women because they put things over their head. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what the hell do you think it is when you're trying to control their fucking uterus, asshole? But he's beyond hope. Because, and for me, it comes down to the fact that you have an idiot in the White House.
Yep.
And when you have somebody that stupid running a country, he's bound to fuck it up, even if it's non-intentional, which, you know, I think it is.
Well, also, a right-wing extremist cabal that controls everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's really what it is about, the neocons. Yeah. It's right.
The Project for the New American Century people. Richard
What's
Perle
that?
And all. Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld.
Right, the neocons. I didn't know it was called the Project for the, what did you say?
New American Century.
Oh, where does that name come from? I hadn't heard it called that before. Is that like from the, is that their intellectual theory or something?
Yeah, PNAC, PNAC. They,
Penis?
Yes. They, published a position paper in the late 90s in which they, stated that a, new Pearl Harbor would have to take place in order to, initiate the kind of, imperial aggression necessary to grab the oil wells in the Middle East.
When was this written?
1998.
Interesting. You know, I don't know if you've seen it. There's a wonderful documentary called The Power of Nightmares on BBC. Have you seen this?
No.
I'll try to post it on Insane Films. It's so amazing. Now, of course, they didn't show it in America. And this isn't one of these conspiracy theory documentaries. This was on BBC and, you know, in Europe. So I had a guy in Amsterdam mail it to me. But it's, they trace the beginnings of the Al-Qaeda movement and parallel it with the neoconservative movement, which both actually originated in the United States. And unfortunately, the neoconservative movement started in my town here in Chicago at the University of Chicago. And at the same, sort of very close in time, the Al-Qaeda stuff started. But yeah, it's true that the neocons are basically sort of like the like Lenin, in that they have this mythology that they impose on people, and they give you they create this mythology, sort of like Valhalla or something, you know, where we're fighting for freedom and all this bullshit, and they create an enemy, and you have to have an enemy.
Well, they would be happy if we were all a pile of corpses, because then we'd be closer to Armageddon. They really want to bring about the rapture.
Mm-hmm. That's a Blondie song, though. I don't really know what else it is. What the hell is the rapture? It's like you die and then you go to heaven because you're dead?
I don't know. I guess so. Yeah.
What I wonder is if you... What I find incredibly ironic is, okay, so a lot of these crazy people voted for President Bush so that he would save unborn children in other people's uteruses that they don't know.
Uh-huh.
And as a side effect of that, as a result of electing this bozo to save fetuses, they end up electing somebody who kills their own children in order to get oil for his SUV and his cousins. You know, that's a bit... I don't understand. Now, that's a complex... Irony is a complex thought to explain to a really retarded person, you know? And I'm beginning to think that those kind of... minds are of a majority in this country, but you're saying it's not. You're saying it was just a botched, it was just a stolen election, that the most people aren't that stupid.
Right. We're being led to believe that they're actually choosing the course of events in this bizarro world we're now living in. I think it's the right-wing cabal that's controlling what's happening, and the corporate media is just being whores, sucking up to the insanity mm-hmm. to which we're being subjected. But millions of people, I expect, are going to be killed in the next 10 or 20 years when the U.S. Empire finds it necessary to wipe out large populations, since the people in this country are being conditioned to consume larger and larger amounts of fossil fuels to run their SUVs and to maintain our extravagant lifestyles as compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
Of course, China is a big competitor, so they may succeed in destroying our crumbling civilization. Who knows?
Well, from what I understand about China, that's sort of like... I think from what I understand from listening to some of these business people, and there's podcasts where these business people masturbate each other's penises, and they... what it sounds to me like, if I can offer my perception, is that the China thing is a huge red herring. China is not a competitor. China is basically our you know, they're ours basically. We own them because they're gonna be our workers basically. They are our workers, and they're buying into our capitalism. They're only a problem for us if they don't buy into our capitalism.
But we're in debt to them.
Right, we are.
So they own us.
Right, but see, the production still happens, and the investors still make money, and regardless of who's in debt to who, there's an awful lot of productivity going on. So, you know, there's a lot of iPods being made and spent and bought and traded. So basically, from what these guys are saying anyway, and I don't understand it fully, but it creates a superpower that's larger. You get China and United States together, you know, which basically means we're the communists now. You know, it's sort of like, it seems to me what's happening is we're slowly being turned inside out without realizing it, you know?
Well, I'm not sure what to do, really. You know, I just talk about it, but sometimes it feels like it's not really going anywhere, you know? I mean, I don't understand how to tell people. Well, I don't understand how to, what to do. I mean, I guess you're supposed to write letters to NBC. I mean, it just seems so...
Burn it. Maybe we need to take sledgehammers to the touchscreen voting machines. I don't know what can be done. It's just, but I do know. I mean, if you look back in history, when there was resistance, the imperial powers did fall. I mean, in Algeria, they were able to overthrow the French.
Right. And it sounds like our army is getting awfully pissed off. I mean. I think it's conceivable that we could reach a point where the army just says, fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody has to press the buttons. I can't imagine Bush actually doing anything other than taking a vacation.
Right.
And then you have Dumsfeld.
Yeah.
What do you think's the story with Cunt Dolezy Rice? You think she's... I mean, what's that about? I mean, I just don't get it.
She's a puppet for Chevron.
Oh, yeah. So that's right. So we should talk about that. Because she was on the board of Chevron.
Yeah,
or still is. Well, I'm not sure.
And
then
we have
Halliburton.
Yeah.
With dickhead. What's Cheney? Yeah. And then what are the other involvements with oil companies? Do you know? I know Bush is on.
There was Enron.
Enron, yeah.
But the major contributor to the Bush crime family's presidential campaign.
Yeah. And it is a bit curious that when the
And Unocal, which China wants to buy.
Who's the involvement with Unocal?
Unocal, we're behind the pipeline that is to be built through Afghanistan from the Caspian Sea.
From
Uzbekistan, yeah. Which is probably the reason why we went to war in Afghanistan.
Right, right.
And now some even conservative congressmen are... up in arms about Unocal being bought out by China, since it's a multinational oil consortium.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll start being able to get Chinese food at that gas station, and I wouldn't mind that. I like Chinese food.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I have
Jewish.
A copy of Chairman Mao's Little Red Book already, so I'm prepared.
You can join first. Get your little hat.
Yeah, and I also have some radon potassium iodine pills. I suggest everyone stock up on those.
What does that do?
It's for radiation sickness in case there's a bomb going off.
Where do you get those? Where did you get them?
I got it from a pharmacy. Sometimes you have to ask around.
No kidding.
The government's supposed to dispense them in case of a disaster, but I don't trust them.
Oh, of course not. They wouldn't do it.
Right.
I have this book that I would recommend too. It's SAS. It's like the Swedish Air Service, some air service, but it's like it's a survival guide and it's teeny tiny. I got it at Urban Outfitters,
yeah.
And it's basically how to survive without anything. So it just tells you how to make use of all the resources. And I figure, you know,
right.
Yeah, maybe I'm nuts, but I might as well buy the thing. You know, couldn't hurt. It's just a little book. Of course, I don't. Maybe it'll blow up too.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen that book. Yeah, that looks useful, definitely.
Yeah,
does it tell
I'm
you
not...
how to open up a can without a can opener?
Right, right.
Yeah.
With your teeth.
All right.
So what else? So what other things are you interested in right now? Anything exciting going on? Any women you're obsessed with in the
artistic sense. I don't mean sexually. I mean, like, I know you've worked with some very interesting people, like Annie Sprinkle, like world famous Bob.
Right.
With the boobs.
Yeah, she also appears in the Origin episode, and in the last episode, I got her to be in one.
Oh,
she's lost.
Good.
She's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I saw pictures of her in some, like, social magazine or something. She looked phenomenally good. Mm. But I thought she looked good fat, too, but, you know.
Yeah, I loved her when she was fat.
Yeah, yeah. But it was.
She's still a stunning presence.
Yeah. I've never seen her in person. So she's going to be in the Origin episode, which isn't finished yet.
Right. Mm. Also, I've been. I was reading this book called Bubblegum Music is the Naked Truth, and I started getting into the Banana Splits.
Oh, what's that, a cartoon?
It was a live-action Hanna-Barbera show from the late 60s.
Okay.
They hosted cartoons. It was these four guys in animal outfits, and they did an album. And there was also a group called the Beagles.
Mm-hmm.
They had their Saturday morning TV show in 1967 that did some pretty good music, which I just discovered.
Huh.
They were like sort of a parody of the Beatles. But the Banana Splits had like a lot of variety in their music. Some of it was psychedelic, and some of it, you know, was actually written by Barry White before he got famous.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Burning Man?
No. Have you?
No, I never have. I wanted to go this year, but unfortunately I'm going to be busy.
Right.
Maybe next year, but it sounds awfully interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess you do all this stuff, and then you get annoyed by trendy people that are... and then you go home. I don't know.
Yeah, people try to talk me into going there, but... I don't know.
I think I just talked myself out of it, because everything that somebody's ever told me to go to that's the greatest thing, you'll never forget it. Those are the things they always end up hating.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like the movie Batman, like this? What the hell is this shit?
All right. Don't you have to pay $100 to go there, too, and it's out in the desert or something?
You have to pay $100?
Yeah, it's not free anymore. It hasn't been free for a few years.
Yeah, there's got to be something else. You know, I know the festivals in Europe can be pretty fun, but I'll probably pass. I don't know. I'm too fat for that shit. I'll just boil.
There's positive and negative aspects to transgression, but it's better than conforming.
Mm-hmm.
There are too many people behaving like sheep now. That needs to be changed.
Hmm. So how do we do that?
Faces. You have to get in people's faces and be obnoxious, I guess. Yeah.
And confront them on their bullshit.
Right.
Like what you do.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you get arrested sometimes for that, don't you?
What?
Don't you get arrested for that sort of thing sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah, but that's no big deal.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people are afraid to lose their, you know, their... material shit.
That's what you have to get beyond.
Yeah.
Material attachments. That's
hard to do, though, I think.
Right, but also I think we still have a little bit of room for dissent and civil disobedience in this country, and it can be still utilized. And if you even spending a few hours in jail is no big deal. You know, Gandhi did it, and Martin Luther King, and. Mm-hmm.
I've done it, but it was because I was on acid and took all my clothes off.
Right. Yeah, I got caught jumping a turnstile, so yeah, it's always an interesting experience seeing the inside of a jail cell. I'd recommend it, and I think it should be mandatory for all judges and elected officials.
Well, jumping a turnstile is the last thing anybody should go to jail for. I mean, that's stupid.
Oh, yeah, they do sweeps in New York for that sort of thing. They also, I encounter a lot of people in jail in New York in the Tombs were there for selling T-shirts on the street.
The Tombs?
Yeah, they call it the Tombs.
What is that?
It's a central booking. It's a place where you get taken if you're arrested in New York. It's this underground subterranean... series of cells with no windows where you're kept like cattle, and they move you around every few hours, and the lights never go off. and they have benches that are made out of metal that you slide off of. So most people like try sleeping on the floor. Yeah, and you go through this whole system, and then and the whole time, like the only food you get is these cheese sandwiches that are kind of stale. And then at the end of it, they promise you that the hot meal, and the hot meal is so disgusting it makes you want to throw up. And
like, what is it?
It was like some kind of soggy bread with some kind of weird looking meat mashed up inside of it that looked kind of green. And at the end of it, you end up seeing a judge. Like, when you get up to the part with the judge, you start climbing upstairs. So it's like, it's very almost biblical, really. It's like going to hell. And then at the end of it, you climb up the stairs. You know, you go up a few floors, and then you see the judge. And then if you're lucky, you get to leave. And then you walk out the front door, and it's, you know, daylight. And it's like, it's a very weird experience.
What a power trip for that judge. You know, I bet that judge gets whipped like hell at his little bordello or whatever. You know that he's got to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That is so fucking ridiculous. I will not understand people. You know, I've been a pacifist since I was born. I've never understood the need for people to fight. You know, when you look at, because I was watching all this footage about the Hiroshima, you know, 60th anniversary, and, you know, and they show all these protesters, and people are like, please, peace. What good is all this death? And then you have people like Bush just bombing the shit out of people for no reason, you know, and they're just making excuses not to have peace. And right. Tony Blair, instead of, who used to be a liberal, instead of saying we want to protect freedom, he's saying we want to protect our way of life. So freedom is no longer something that we're protecting. Freedom is something we're giving up to protect our way of life.
Right.
You know, and that is such fucking bullshit, you know, and I can't understand how people can be so unhuman or inhuman enough to just sort of kill. I mean, I just can't believe it, because that's basically what our country is doing. And as citizens that pay taxes, we're paying for that, you know. And right. Some people are even resisting not paying taxes, refusing to conscious or conscientiously, and they're not going to jail. None of them have gone to jail, so they've that's come good. Close.
It's like so. 1984, the book, you know, where this constant war is going on, and people don't really see the results of it.
Right.
I think if people saw what war really entails, they would be even more against it.
Right, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. We've got to get those photographs out somehow. That's what needs to be done. Somehow they need to be seen in a way that people can't avoid seeing them. Like, right. Put it on a fucking billboard in Times Square. Jesus, something, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how can you not be moved by a picture of a baby with an arm missing or a head blown off. I mean,
right.
And when Amy Goodman interviewed the CNN anchor about it, she said, "Why aren't you showing the casualties?" He said, "Because it's tasteless."
Who was it? Do you remember his name or no?
It was one of those reporters you see all the time, like an anchor on CNN. Now, I don't watch it enough, but I would recognize the name if you said it. But it was like,
it wasn't Wolf Blitzer, was it?
No, it wasn't Wolf Blitzer. What the fucking name is that?
He's a scumbag.
No, it wasn't Wolf Blitzer. It was one of the like regular anchors.
It would be tasteless, right?
Yeah. Whoopee something, yeah. Yeah, tasteless. Tasteless, right? And then, tasteless.
I do remember at the end of the Vietnam War, like the last year, suddenly Time magazine started printing color photographs of babies with bullets in them, you know, mothers holding, you know, babies dying. And right. I remember thinking, wow, I wonder why suddenly now we're seeing this, you know.
Well, that's what happened at the end of Vietnam, from what I understand. That's how, like, that napalm, the picture of the little girl sprayed with napalm that was in, I think, Life magazine was so critical in ending the war.
Yeah.
Because people were finally seeing that. And I was talking with a producer, a friend of mine, and he was saying that he felt it really made a turn when Walter Cronkite publicly stood up against the war.
Right.
In the CBS Evening News, he just said, "You're being lied to, America." As an anchor, he said it on the news. And maybe that is why the anchors are, you know, disappearing for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody has to take a stand. You'd be a lot more respected for standing up for yourself than for being some sort of, you know, dweeb with a boat. But what do I know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think...
go ahead.
I think in the way they got it set up now, we have the illusion of freedom in this country. We have the freedom of speech. We can criticize all we want and nothing will change. They'll continue what they're doing, these Christian Reconstructionists and the cabal of neoconservatives that are running the country. And
right.
I don't know how... I don't know. It's how they can be overthrown. I almost feel like the rest of the world has to unite against them in some way.
But, right.
I mean, we have to also in this country. But yes.
Well, we could just go broke. I mean, that could be because that's the same. That's what Bin Laden basically did to the Soviet Union. He just bled them broke right. by making them crazy. You know, like the little. You know, in the Bugs Bunny cartoon, the little, what the hell animal is it that drives the cat crazy? Sylvester and Tweety Bird. You know, Bin Laden's running around like Tweety Bird. And, right. you know, Bush is the idiot cat that's trying to, you know, get the wrong country. You know, he's looking in the wrong country. And then, you know, we could look at all the money we're spending. I mean, we can't afford any of this crap.
Right. And maybe it'd be a positive thing if there was no United States. If it just decentralized like the Soviet Union did, although all those nuclear weapons, you know, it'll be the Wild West all over again.
Yeah, but you know, chances are if those things go off, we'll hardly even notice. It will just blow up, be yeah. vaporized. You know. Anyway. Yeah. All right.
On that happy note.
Well, that should be enough. I think we've all recorded right. enough material. Do you want to say anything, plug anything, or anything like that before we go?
No, I mean, people can just go to nickzed.com if they want it.
And your Electra Elf will be posted on Insane Films whenever I post this audio, which will be sometime in the next week, and it'll also be on Sirius 148, which is Adam Curry's pod show, as I cover for him.
All right.
While he's flying in first class. Do you know he flies first class on Virgin?
Really?
Mm-hmm. First class, upper class, where they get their own little cabin.
Is he friends with Richard Branson?
I don't know, but you know what? He went to, I told him he should be, because Adam went to the Playboy Mansion in England, because he lives in England, and he got to do a sound scene tour there. I haven't heard it yet, but he said that in Playboy clubs in Europe, and in particular that one, they fuck in the clubs. It's not just naked women, they're actually fucking.
Wow.
And then Adam and his wife were there, you know, and then they're doing their little podcast from the hotel in New York, because that's where they are now, I think. But and they both have the flu, and I'm thinking, how the hell did they get that, you know? Maybe they got it at this... Well, I don't want to get in trouble, but, you know, maybe they swing.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so that's what they're doing, you know?
All right.
That's all right. It gives me an opportunity.
Yeah.
So thanks for being on here again, and if you have any particular thing you ever want to bring up, then just you know, send me an email.
All right.
And this is Madge Weinstein on the Pod Show with Nick Zed. Thanks. All right, well, that takes care of another edition of the Yeast Radio. This is your favorite lesbian on the internet, covering for Adam Curry on Pod Show, Series 148. And I want to tell you to stay tuned and listen to yeastradio.com, which you can subscribe to on iTunes. Anyway, good night and have a pleasant yeast infection.